Your opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
Feel like a woman.
Hey! Woo! You are listening to 101.9 CITR coming to you from UBC on unceded Musqueam territory. This is the Thunderbird Locker Room, a special edition of the Thunderbird Locker Room, and you'll find out about that in a bit. We will be giving you a backroom perspective on varsity athletes, coaches, and staff. And today, we have the first female guest on the show. Thank you for bumping my numbers up. This is Erin Stamp. She's a UBC varsity swimmer. She is in year 5 of her kinesiology program. And her accolades as a swimmer include under 18 Canada. And she went to the Canadian Olympic trials last year? 2016, but before the Olympics started.
Yeah, and 2012. Yeah.
And you didn't make it that either.
No.
That's okay.
Salt in the wound.
Yeah. Okay, so did you watch the Olympics, of course.
Yes,
the
of
swimming.
Course. Yeah.
What did you think about the swimming this year? Lots of records broken.
Mm-hmm. The swimming this year was more exciting to me than the swimming in the past because I knew so many of the swimmers on the team, so it was cheering for my friends, which was really exciting.
Which ones did you swim with that were on there?
Well, Emily Overholt was my roommate last year, and she was at the last Olympics, and she actually won a bronze medal in the relay this summer, which was really exciting. Erica Seltenright Hodgson was also from UBC. Marcus, Yuri.
Who's Marcus?
Marcus?
Yeah, is that big Asian dude?
Yeah, that's Marcus. Tall, lanky.
Yeah.
Him and Yuri are both tall and lanky.
Okay.
Yeah, those two boys. Richard Weinberger is the open water swimmer for Canada. And I mean, I trained with him. Obviously, I didn't train with him because I'm not an open water swimmer, but I knew him, so I was also cheering him on. Martha McCabe used to swim with the Thunderbirds back. I'm trying to think. She graduated in 2012 and then came back out to UBC this past year to train under Joseph Nagy, the breaststroke coach here. So,
okay, so is the Canadian swimming coach your guys' swimming coach here at UBC? Is that what I heard?
Sort of. So in Canada, there's 3 national training centers now. There used to be a few more. So one is based in Toronto, one is based in Vancouver, one is based in Victoria, and there's also one in Montreal, sort of. So we have a national training center here, so that's where 2 of the coaches last year had their athletes training under. So a bunch of the athletes that are part of the National Training Center are on the varsity team, but the varsity team has our own separate coach, I guess.
Okay, so are you in that program because you went to the trials? Do they keep looking at you while you're swimming here?
Yes and no. I have had rights to train with them, so in previous years I've trained full-time with them. This year I'm only training part-time with them and part-time with the center.
Okay, so...
But I'm not a full national athlete.
You're not, carded?
Yes, it's the carded athletes that are primarily in the center that have the most access to IST support and other things that come along with it.
What's in that?
What's an IST support? Oh, so much. massage, nutrition, sports psych, video analysis.
Video analysis?
Yeah.
Of swimming?
Yes.
So they put cameras in the water? Yes. Do they do that or above water?
Some underwater, some over water. Depends what you're trying to look at. And they actually, at most swim meets now, have all the races are taped. So you can go back and watch it, and you can pay a fee to have your race specifically taped. And they'll count how fast you are each length, how long it takes you to get to 15 meters. You can count your strokes. You can get your stroke rate. So there's actually a lot you can learn from looking at your video.
Right, so if you need to slow down or speed up at some points, right? You didn't want to be slowing down, but...
Yeah, you want to be slowing down. Yeah, it has more to do with your stroke technique, because in swimming, you can get a feel for how you're swimming, but oftentimes what you feel like you're doing and what it looks like you're doing don't match up. So having video analysis is really good for that.
Yeah, I was watching one of those late night shows. I can't remember. It's the Canadian guy. Do you remember his name?
Rick Mercer?
Yeah, I was watching the Mercer report.
Yeah.
And he went to the Canadian Swimming Center. And he's just
Victoria.
He's just not an athlete at all. And they strapped him into that machine that pulls you at Olympic speed.
Yeah.
And he's just getting drugged through the water.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Were you at that when they did that?
No, that's in Victoria. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. It was so funny.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. We actually don't have anything quite like that in Vancouver for our training, because I think that's supposed to speed you up. So we have kind of the ghetto version of that here at UBC,
which is
basically you tie a rope around your, like a clip, I guess, around your waist, and it attaches to an elastic stretchy cord.
They just get some jack dude at the end to pull you along?
No, you have to pull your friends along. Yeah, so, I mean, at UBC, like, we've been lucky, no one's gotten hurt, but we used to do that at my home club, and the elastics would break sometimes and come back, and it's 25 meters stretched right at your, quads.
That'd be good training. We should get the rugby boys in there
to pulling, yank us
on the,
in.
Pulling on the swimmers. That would work.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that would work pretty well.
I think so, too.
So you're fifth year, right? So how old are you then?
22.
So... swimming, hey, I've stopped counting. So during the Olympics, the only time I watched swimming ever, basically, I just thought it was really interesting that they're all like Overholt's 18,
mm-hmm.
a lot of young, super young swimmers,
mm-hmm.
and so I went on Swam, which is like the which is like the boards for swimming, or it's like a talk board, or what do you call that, forum, right?
Yeah.
And they're saying, most people are saying that, like, once you get older, especially the women, the swimming stroke rate and everything just sort of drops off a cliff,
slower.
Right? You get slower, right? Are you getting slower just because of, I mean, I know
that's
picking
okay.
on you, but.
Yeah, no. It really depends on the athlete. So in general, women peak earlier than men just because of when you develop. So girls develop earlier than guys, obviously. So I would say the majority of female swimmers peak before they're 25. And most people, unless you're a really elite swimmer and you've been an elite swimmer since your early 20s, you're probably not going to carry on swimming at that level past 25, just because of the demand in time and money and effort. But I don't think I personally have peaked. I was a bit of a late developer, and it depends on the quality of the club you grew up into. A lot of people come to university having only swam 6 times a week at their home club.
Only 6 times a week?
Only 6 times a week. And so
what is a lot? What's a lot for a swimmer?
What's a lot? Typical training load during the school year is 9 times a week in the water.
Jeez.
And then plus 5 to 6 dry lands on top of that.
Every week?
Every week, yeah.
So, oh my God. Okay,
it's a point of pride as a swimmer, but it's like kind of sad when you hear it out loud too.
Yeah, and I was also reading on that forum, they're talking about this thing called black line fatigue. So, you know, obviously you know, but in the lanes, there's a black line at the bottom so you know which part of the lane you're in, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the middle. And they're calling it black line fatigue because you just get tired of staring at the line all day, every day. Because what length do you swim in those 9 trainings in a week? Like, how many
what
K
distance?
Do you think?
Oh, that's a good question. Okay. I'm a middle distance swimmer, kind of sprinter. And my workouts probably in average training are 6K each.
6K per training?
Per training.
Times 9?
Yeah.
I don't even want to do that math. I can't, and I don't want to. Was that like 50K or something like that?
Yeah, about that. I mean, it depends on like when we get into training camp. So I guess Christmas is our first like official training camp. So we come back to Vancouver starting training December 27th. And then we'll have training camp until school starts again. And during training camp, you'll go double, double, single, double, double off, double, double, single, double, double
like
off.
Like 2 a day.
Yeah.
One, two, off,
so
two a day,
you're, one off. So you have a day where you have two workouts and then a day where you have two workouts. So two doubles
yep.
and then a single workout and then two doubles and then a day off. And you'll kind of go through that cycle. So
sounds
that ups
great.
Your volume a little bit. But you, if you go across Canada, different swimmers are training different volumes, and it just works for them. I think you have to find the right fit for you and run with it.
Right, because there was that lady, what was her name? Like, she got suspected of using steroids in this Olympics, and she's called, like, Iron Man or something, because she goes to every single...
Katinka Hozu.
Yeah, she goes to every swim meet. I was reading, she goes to every swim meet and just crushes everyone. She wins everything.
Yeah, she is the Iron
and
Lady.
It's just... crazy attrition. Like, most swimmers wouldn't do that, right? How many competitions do you think you'd do?
In a year. Oh, jeez.
Because she was doing one every weekend, basically, all over the world,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. So Katinka Hozu is swimming at World Cup.
That is such
Cup.
A cool name.
Yeah. She's swimming at World Cup meets, which means, they are all over the world. There's several across China, across Europe, and they run at different times of the year. The kind of neat thing about them is there's prize money on the line. So she actually is probably, I don't remember the stats somewhere, but she was making like $100,000 a year in prize money.
Is that huge for a
for swimming? Swimmer? Yes. Yeah, for swimmers, yeah. That's huge. You know,
unless you're Michael Phelps, you're not going to be.
Yeah. Unless you have endorsement deals, but I mean, you don't really get paid to swim. Like, you could be carded from your country. And different countries work different ways, so I can't speak for countries other than Canada, really. But in Canada, you're not going to make money other than maybe a few endorsements and your carding money.
Right. So if you're not pretty, you're basically not going to make any money.
Pretty and fast.
You got that covered, at least.
Yeah.
So, Katinka.
Yeah.
I obviously, you can't make a definitive statement because you might have to swim against her one day.
Yeah.
But do you think she was juiced? For this Olympics.
Do I think she was juiced?
Or has been at one point.
It's quite possible.
I think
the times she's putting up are so outstanding, and she's doing them back to back to back. It's just like she's a whole nother breed of human.
Right. And she's, but the thing is, though, she's older, right? She's what, 27, 28, something like that?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure her age.
I think she's around 27. And most girls, like you said, drop off after college.
Yeah.
So if you think maybe if someone had the will and the money to keep training for that extra 2 years, maybe everyone would be making those times, right?
No.
Possible? No.
I don't think so.
Not possible. Okay.
There's a pretty high burnout rate in swimming, I'd say, once you get to college swimming.
But if you had the will, do you think you could?
Could anyone, are you saying?
Yeah.
No.
Or you have to be special.
You have to be special. You have to have impeccable technique. You have to have the training habits of an animal, and you have to eat, sleep, breathe, swimming. Like, every decision you make in your life is to make your performance in the pool better.
Ugh. That sounds horrible.
Rugby boys wouldn't like that.
No, we train twice a week, and we go to the gym twice a week.
Yeah.
It's not. It's less
out
of a lifestyle.
Every Saturday.
Yeah. Well, hey, we don't drink. We're athletes.
Right? Okay. Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Now we'll break.
Okay.
We will go to an advertisement.
Hold of some pigskin. This is my shimmering life prize. All I must do is create a diversion. What could distract people who love sports? Sports. 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 Sports.
Do you find sports distracting? Feel the need to chant sports for hours on end? Then come on by the CITR station at the new sub to get involved. We do play-by-play, color commentary, audio production, interviews, and so much more. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
God, these people make some weird ads. We're back on 101.9 CITR. This is the Thunderbird Locker Room. Aaron, I was watching, I basically watched all the nature documentaries that Netflix has to offer about a month ago. I watched all of them. I crushed them.
Just
the
for
island one.
Kicks?
For knowledge and for fun.
Okay.
So all the island ones, all the sea ones, and I figured since you're a swimmer, we'll talk about some sea creatures. And this was one of the coolest things. So this is on BBC Earth, and it's these dolphins in, so I'll explain while the video's in, you can just watch. Yeah. So it's these dolphins in Florida. They're bottlenose dolphins, and the way they fish is they go into the marshes where the water is sort of flat. It's about 2 or 3 meters deep, probably four, and they'll, you know what a bait ball is in biological terms, I guess, a bait ball?
No.
So out in the open ocean, okay, they'll surround fish and get them to spin up into a ball, and they'll keep surrounding them, and then they'll dart through the ball and grab a bunch of fish, right? That's called
clever,
a bait ball.
Yeah.
So here on the flats, they'll use the mud as sort of a fence around the fish. So you can see what they're doing there.
Yeah.
They swim really quick in a circle and flip the mud up so the fish get confused and they're surrounded by mud, and then they'll dart through the mud and grab fish out of the... Isn't that cool? Look at that.
Yeah, that's
and all the fish are trying to jump over the mud out of the water, and they're just snagging them in the air. Look at that.
Do the fish like to hang out in such a shallow area?
I guess certain fish just hang out in certain areas, right?
It looks like a food party, yeah.
It does look like a food party.
It's a feast.
Do you want to see the bait balls? I'm sure you've seen it before.
Okay, show me a bait ball.
Okay, we'll see a bait ball. How cool is that, though?
This is a learning experience.
They got some big brains on them. Okay, we'll go bait ball. And sharks get in on it, too. When you'll see that in the middle of the ocean, then you'll see a bunch of seagulls flying over because they're picking off birds from the, or because they'll drive them towards the surface,
yeah,
and they'll pick off
the fish. I'm not a seagull fan.
You don't like seagulls are assholes. Oh, you can swear on this, by the way, if you want to. It's not
seagulls and pigeons. They're the worst. They're just like I don't know what it is. They aren't afraid of humans. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, well, the ones that hang out in
they're dirty and they get close to us.
I had a seagull steal a piece of pizza out of my hand while I was eating it.
No.
Have you been to Lonsdale Key before in North Van?
No.
So there was I saw it before I bought the pizza, this fat seagull, like the fattest seagull I've ever seen. It was probably this big, just massive, about 3 footballs squished together. I go and buy the pizza and sit down. First bite, lifting it to my mouth, out of behind my head, scrapes my head with its wing and grabs a pizza and takes off. And
disgusting.
I'm looking around, people are laughing at me. The guy sitting across from me goes like, "I'll buy you another one, mother." I'm like, "Oh, thank God."
That's so gross. I think I'd have a heart attack if that happened.
If it's, look, see that? See how they're all spinning around?
Yeah. How did you say they get in that ball?
So the dolphins will find a school of fish.
Yeah.
And they'll drive them towards the surface. Like, they'll coordinate and drive them towards the surface, and then they'll start basically swimming in circles around them. So the fish will try and go one way, and, oh, there's a dolphin. And they end up just following each other in this big circle.
Hmm.
I'll try and...
That seems like an effective way to hunt.
Yeah, see, look, all these... And see the birds above them, too?
And this is a sweet shot.
And they'll just dart into, they get some good stuff on BBC. And they'll just dart into it and grab a bunch. How devastating would that be? Imagine if that's how, like, bears hunted humans or something like that. You're walking to school with, like, 5 of your friends, and then all these bears surround you and start. And all the kids are like, running in circles. Oh, my goodness. Look at that. That's so cool. I think sea creatures are probably some of the coolest animals. I mean, haven't we only discovered like 90% of the ocean or something like that? Or 10% of the ocean?
I don't know.
Well, you should. You're a swimmer. That's why I thought we would talk about sea creatures today. But obviously,
fitting,
you know.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll show you another hunting technique. I guess it's going to be like
this is turning into a hunting.
A sea hunting tutorial here. If you ever decide to hunt like a dolphin. Okay, we'll do killer whales. But this one is seals in the Arctic.
Okay.
And the way they flip them off these little ice floes.
The extent of my hunting is shooting squirrels with a BB gun in the backyard.
You murdered squirrels?
No, they don't actually die. It's just like...
Well, if you shoot them in the right place, I would.
I don't think they're big enough pellets.
Right in the noggin. So I was
fast enough, I guess.
I listened to this hunting podcast called Meat Eater.
Okay.
And he had this guy on from Mississippi. And when this guy was a kid, so probably 30 years ago, they didn't really have a lot of big game, so they didn't have a lot of whitetail deer and stuff like that running around. So they'd hunt squirrels as like their big thing. And his thing, sad. His thing is hunting squirrels. He hunts them with dogs. He hunts them just still hunting them. It's crazy.
Really?
He's talking about the dog will run off and chase a squirrel up a tree, and you got to get a good hunting dog that'll keep barking to keep it in the tree, and trying to find the squirrel on which branch. And so he got really deep in.
Wow.
Okay, this is the orcas.
Seems like a bit of a waste of time, to be honest.
Hunting squirrels?
Yeah.
Apparently, it's really good meat. I mean,
really?
I'm sure you could find other things to do with your time, but
yeah,
you don't have to swim every day. It seems like a waste of time to me,
that's
right?
That's true. There's 25 hours back in your week.
Yeah. This is not good camera work here. So this guy, look, they'll shoot a huge wave onto it. So that was the killer whale shot that wave, and it'll slide it off the end. Mm-hmm. It's pretty brutal. Look at that. And they'll practice sometimes, too, so they'll let it get back onto the ice sheet.
And just
they'll
taunting
to
it.
To teach their kids, and then they'll do another one. And did you see that big flip that happened when the killer whale flipped that seal like 40 feet in the air? Did you watch that?
No.
Oh, my God.
How do you find these videos?
I have a lot of time on my hands.
No classes on Tuesday, Thursdays.
Exactly.
Yeah. Making use.
My mom thinks I'm studying. I'm watching killer whales kill things. Oh.
Oh, this is near Victoria, BC.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There it is. Look.
That was a seal. Oh, my God.
Dead. So dead.
Okay. Yeah, but now it has to go find it.
Oh, that's part of the game, I guess.
Seems like a bit too much work.
You think it should just chomp its head off and get it done with?
Yeah.
So what's your favorite sea creature, do you think?
Favorite sea creature?
Do you have a favorite one?
Ooh. I like little, small, colorful fish.
Like the ones you find on reefs and stuff?
Yeah.
Have you gone diving before?
Snorkeling. Does that count?
Sort of. Where?
In Hawaii.
Hawaii,
yeah.
I've never been to Hawaii.
We had a training camp there. Tough life.
So it wasn't very... Yeah. So did you actually hang out at all, or were you just
swimming?
Well,
on our day off, yeah. On our day off, we took... I think we were there for close to 3 weeks, so we would have had a few days off.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. We went... you take a boat out to like this little like volcano island thing, and you can snorkel around there.
So there's a reef around the...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's how... I'm from Bermuda. That's how Bermuda was formed. It was a volcano.
Okay.
And the volcano sunk, and there was reef surrounding,
okay.
And that's what everything grew off. Have you ever been anywhere else? Like just straight up vacation, not swimming vacations.
Yeah. Like growing up, you mean?
Yeah, sure.
Or just in general. Okay. Yeah, I've been to Australia, Costa Rica.
Oh, mate. I lived in Australia. Where'd you go in Australia? Just
Sydney, Adelaide, and Tasmania.
How old are you?
Ooh, that's a good question. 12, maybe?
So you sort of remember it?
Sort of. My dad did his fellowship or some sort of study down there.
Okay.
So he made friends down there, and so when we were younger, we went and visited them.
Did you go to the Great Barrier Reef before?
We did not.
You didn't? Oh. It's going away now. You got to get back before it totally disappears.
Yeah. Where else?
Costa Rica, you said?
Mm-hmm. Costa Rica. France. We went to... This is so bad. Why can't I remember it? It's in the very south of France. Annecy. It's really pretty. That was probably my favorite place ever.
It's
based around a little lake, but it's so warm.
It's warm. Oh, it's, yeah. The south
water
of France is
warm,
actually.
Though.
So why do? So it's really warm there. Did you go swimming and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think it's based around the lake, or we maybe just ended up saying yeah. There you go.
Oh wow. Whoa, that looks like Venice almost. Look at that.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
they're
it was
all
really
pink,
nice.
Pink houses right on this river.
And then Barcelona and Paris.
Oh, Barcelona.
Yeah.
You got to do it, Barça.
I can't do that.
Barcelona.
Barcelona. There you go.
Barcelona. And where, sorry? Barcelona.
And Paris.
And Paris.
Yes.
Okay.
Oui, oui.
Did you do the Eiffel Tower and all that stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
The Arc de Triomphe, and did you go to the museum?
Yeah.
Was the super long line? Yes, the Louvre.
No, we went very early on in the day, so we missed most of the line.
You saw Mona Lisa?
Yeah.
Isn't it a tiny painting?
It's yeah, just it was like there. Pretty lackluster, not going to lie.
There must have been some way cooler paintings than just the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
I wonder why that one got super famous. Do you know why that one got super famous? Oh, I guess because Da Vinci painted it. Most visited, most written about, most sung about, most parodied work of art in the world. Why, though?
So it just became a thing, and people just rolled with it.
I guess that's what happens in art, right? Shit just kind of happens.
Yeah, and they're just like, this is sweet.
Like, who's that guy, Jackson Pollock, who just throws stuff on the paintings, and then he made millions of dollars off of that? Hmm. She does look kind of creepy, though. She looks like she knows something about you. Doesn't she?
Yeah.
She's kind of chubby, too. She's got a bit of an extra neck.
If we're getting real
neck
picky.
Chin thing going
you think
on
they
there.
Could have painted that out. It was optional.
I guess he wanted to capture the real likeness of her. The most I know about Da Vinci is from the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's not real.
The movie?
Yeah, the movie.
Not the
I
book.
Read the book.
Okay.
The I got one of the on I got one of the books with the pictures in it so you could look so you could see
to
what he was talking
about. Make it a more tolerable read.
Well, no, because I don't know any of these paintings, so you could see what he was talking about when he said the Last Supper when they're leaning away
That's
from each other.
Sweet.
It was pretty cool. I actually just saw Inferno on the weekend. That's the third the third one. Have you seen those movies?
Yeah.
Angels and Demons.
Yeah, I've seen Angels and Demons, and I think I've seen I have seen the Da Vinci Code, but I don't know about Inferno. I think I've read all the books but Inferno.
Because Inferno just came out.
Okay.
And
yeah, no, I definitely haven't seen
so
it.
So silly. Those movies are so
I can't remember then if it's in the Da Vinci Code or Angels and Demons, the movie or the book. I'm going to spoil this for whoever hasn't seen it or read it yet, where the end of the movie or book, they take some bomb in like a plane and they just fly it really, really high up.
That's Angels and Demons, because the end of Da Vinci Code is when they find out that the girl is Jesus's kid, right?
And
and they go to that monastery or whatever. Come on.
Realistic.
How ridiculous is that? We totally got off sea creatures there.
Okay. It was close.
Yeah. Okay, we'll come back, because I want to talk about overfishing and tuna.
Okay.
Okay, so I was listening to, what was I listening to? I think it was Radiolab again, and they're talking about what is the one food that you can find in any grocery store anywhere in the world, in the middle of the jungle, you can find this. What do you think it is?
Rice.
That's one of them. But I was thinking more of a sea creature.
A sea creature.
Some kind of meat.
Is this going on with tuna or something?
How'd you know it was tuna?
There you go.
Yeah, it's tuna, right? Because tuna gets overfished. And we're basically running out of tuna.
Huh.
So, are you a sushi tuna fan? You are a sushi tuna fan.
Yeah, I am a sushi tuna fan.
You might want to stay away from the tuna. Because, you know, they do line caught tuna, which is basically with a reel, right?
Yeah.
One guy with a rod. But then there's also the boats that have the huge nets, and they'll just sweep up everything. And they're just decimating the tuna population because everyone eats it.
Mm-hmm.
You can put it in a can.
Yeah.
And it'll last forever, right?
Hmm. Do they propose any solutions to this problem?
Stop eating them.
Really?
Basically,
isn't it stop fishing them?
Well, if you stop fishing them, what are you going to stop doing?
Stop eating them. Okay. But are you proposing that people stop eating and then the demand decreases and then they stop fishing?
I think that's the only way to do it, really. Because if people still want it, they're going to keep fishing for it. People are so destructive. I mean, I'm no saint either. I eat tuna too. It's so tasty. But we got to get away from it. Maybe try
You know what? My roommate just came home tonight, and she's vegan, and she's all like about learning new foods that you shouldn't eat, basically. Restrictive diets. Okay, she might hate me for saying that, but I think so, yeah.
New foods that you shouldn't eat.
Well, new reasons why you shouldn't buy things. Like, just new knowledge has come out on something.
Okay.
So tonight she came home having discovered that the garlic cloves we buy aren't okay to buy. They're just like,
why?
They're six, like the garlic cloves you buy are like 69 cents, super cheap, but it has something to do with the way they're produced. And like, I don't know, I actually was like running out the door as she was talking to my sister about it, but like something with you should look it up, like okay. Bleach or something in it.
Bleach?
So, I don't know. No,
there's bleach in our garlic? Oh, no.
But there is some sort of chemical. And so she bought a different garlic clove that was $4 instead of 67
Whoa.
Cents because it was, I don't know.
$4 garlic clove?
Yeah. I mean,
does she come home just frothing at the mouth, like hating everyone?
Oh, my gosh.
Is she one of the ones who you see someone with a sandwich and she'll get angry if it's got meat
in
it or something?
She's like, she just wants to turn everyone vegan. She eats like just banana after banana.
Oh, is she one of those? Have you seen Freely the Banana Girl?
No.
Okay, we'll go to her after
okay.
this.
After we find out about garlic cloves.
Garlic cloves. Should I just put bleach and see if what comes up?
I don't know if it's bleach, though.
How do I identify?
There
it is. Oh, it's Snopes. This is Snopes. So Snopes does, they debunk stuff. Rumors claim garlic imported from China is identifiable by a lack of root material that is not always a reliable way to determine the product's origins. Okay. You're most likely, this is the headline of Living Traditionally, traditional living in a modern society.
Yeah. This was written last year, too.
Yeah.
It's a little outdated.
You're most likely consuming bleached and chemical-laden garlic from China. So it is Chinese garlic.
That's
bleached.
Full of chemicals.
Bleached. Not just chemicals,
okay,
bleach.
I didn't make up bleach.
Did you know that over 80% of garlic sold worldwide comes from China? No, I did not know that. And it shipped even organic garlic adopted from China, and the certification cannot be trusted. And then it just straight up says Chinese garlic is bleached. That's quite
bold
a broad
statement.
It's bold, it's broad. And then they say, according to Henry Bell, the Australian Garlic Industry Association, so the dude who's trying to shill for Australian garlic and doesn't want you to import Chinese garlic is saying that Chinese
it's grown in untreated sewage.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I could believe that coming from China. Have you seen this thing on Vice? It's called gutter oil.
No.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, we're going to go to this. I got to read this. Is a term used in mainland China, Hong Kong, Macau, and Taiwan to describe illicit cooking oil, which has been recycled from waste oil collected from sources such as restaurant fryers, sewer drains, grease traps, and slaughterhouse waste.
Yum.
There's videos, they got it on Vice, of little old ladies going into the sewers outside of a restaurant, scooping it, and putting it in their cart to fry up their stuff. So who knows what is mixed into that.
Wow.
It is disgusting.
That's kind of sad.
That's why you never eat street meat in China. I did, and I got terribly sick from it in Hong Kong.
Picked up a bug.
But you kind of have to, though. I mean, you're there. Okay, you'll get the runs. You'll puke a little bit. It was terrible. It tasted terrible. But it was worth it because you get the culture, right?
Okay.
Here it is. Gutter oil Vice.
Okay.
Scoops out as much slop as she can.
Oh, she's literally scooping straight from a manhole. She's pulled the manhole cover away. And
she's not even picking out.
She's scooping oil out of this.
A foot soldier in China's so-called gutter oil industry.
Whoa! Oh, that sound is so gross.
After more than 10 years in the business,
maybe it's refined somewhere.
A house for her
maybe.
Fingers
crossed.
It looks like they're just holding it. They're just loading it into a van in this barrel. Okay, that is nuts.
Eventually winds up in a processing plant.
Okay,
like this
gets processed.
Where it's combined with other animal fat refuse to create recycled cooking oil. Workers put
it sounds like they make it worse.
That's gross.
And hotels.
You know what? When I was in high school, grade 10, we did a trip to the waste management or wastewater management plant in my hometown in Ontario. And they, like, it's everything that you flush down your toilet, like, you see it enter, and then it goes through all these different stages of processing, and it ends up getting put back into our, like, river in the town, and the water they put into the river is cleaner than the water that comes from upstream after all the processing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do they have clear pipes so you can see, like, the little poop come down through the... Really?
No, like, it's... It's really gross, but it's basically like a giant waterfall is what it looks like when it like all comes
waterfall
into this
poo.
Thing. Of anything you flush down the toilet.
What does this smell like in there? Do they put you guys in like little hazmat suits?
No.
And stuff? No.
You just walk through.
Just a sweater?
Whatever you wore.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, this is terrifying.
You know what though? It didn't smell as bad as a few weeks ago. I went to a dairy farm in South Surrey for a class, and the smell of their manure was like, it was so
horrifying.
Bad. It's like the kind of smell that sits in your mouth and you taste.
Oh,
like, it was just
like coats. It's like after coffee, you got
and
a little
like you
coating.
Come home and your clothes just reek of it, even though there's nothing on them. It's just like saturated in that.
You want to hear something terrifying?
Sure.
Farmers, you know, so they have big pits for that manure runoff, right?
Yeah.
There's been plenty of stories of farmers every year drunk or just not paying attention.
Like falling into
little
there.
Slip in the manure pit.
That is,
you can die.
That's disgusting.
It's like slop, right?
Yeah,
so
they separate.
It's hard to
well, at this farm, they separate the dry and liquid manure.
If you fall,
so, can you imagine?
Just falling into one of those things.
Oh.
I mean, if you fall, at least, Jesus Christ. Would you eat some of this guttural? Do you think?
Absolutely not.
Would you eat food that came from the guttural?
Unknowingly would be the only way.
so would in on a let's say you go to mainland China,
yeah,
right? You're walking down the street. There's a cart or like a little store selling fried whatever, fried meat.
Yeah.
Would you take the plunge after after knowing this?
No.
No.
No. I don't like meat, right? So I'd never and pick. I'd never pick street.
What if it was like a fried, like yam or something?
Maybe.
Or like a scorpion. Would you try? Would you try bugs?
I think I'd try them. Like just to say I had.
Yeah. Like a cricket or something.
Yeah.
They get some fat crickets, like a locust. They're like.
Really?
They're like 3-4 inches long. I would smash them. I think I would love a cricket.
Really?
It's supposed to be really it's just straight protein, right?
Do you eat the shell of it?
I think they just barbecue the whole thing.
Because I think that would just be the only unappetizing part, the crunch of the cricket.
I think that's
itself.
The best part. The little. We had.
Or the you know, what are they called? The crickets. They have those little, like, antennas. Can you imagine feeling those? It feels like you have a hair in your mouth or something.
Oh, gross. I would hope they get, like, fried off or something. Some of my buddies were having they had an eating competition. It was a few years ago, and they'd basically just be like, you got to eat that. And the other guy would have to eat it. So, like, grass and, like, pieces of bark and stuff. We're at the lake one day, and there's a slug, and he goes, you got to eat that slug. So he picks it up. And he doesn't just shove it in his mouth. He, like, bites halfway through, and it just squirts out this nasty liquid. And he's like, okay, that's enough. that counts. And it was, like, burning his tongue for some reason. He had a numb tongue. Oh, jeez. What's the weirdest thing you've eaten? Like, just... Like a weirdest cricket thing. Or like a piece of eel or an eyeball or something like that. Eating anything?
I don't think I've eaten anything really exotic. I mean, I haven't traveled to places that eat very different, like eat extremely differently from the way we do in North America.
Why are all these pictures of hot dogs with crickets on them?
Deep fried crickets.
What the heck? Are people doing that? Oh, there we go.
Oh, gnarly.
Look at this one. It's not a good picture.
It's a little small.
Yeah, it's tiny.
I like the guy that's cooking it. Would you eat a spider?
It looks like they just leave the shell on. I'm sure there's people who eat spiders. There has to be. I'm sure that in some culture it's some kind of delicacy. Oh, yeah, look at this kid. He's going to town. He's got the whole thing in his mouth. Look at that. Oh, yeah. They're a delicacy.
Are you afraid
of
spiders?
Nah, I'll fuck a spider up. Are you scared of spiders?
No, they don't bother me.
I hate creepy...
Okay, I definitely have my fair share of irrational fears, but yeah, spiders are not one of them.
What are your irrational fears, do you think?
Rodents. Not I think, I know.
See, lots of those phobias are not phobias.
No, mine's
right? like...
a
phobia is like an irrational fear, right?
Yeah.
There's no reason to be You can be scared of rodents, and that's not irrational. There's a rational reason to be scared of rodents. They carry the plague, and they'll bite you.
Yeah, but, like, I can't even look at pictures of rodents without, like, crying. Okay, don't break them up. No, but it actually, like, makes me tear up. Like,
really?
It's weird.
That is kind of phobia-like, isn't
it? It's super phobia-like.
What else do you have?
Growing up, we used to always catch mice in my basement. And, of course, like, nobody else would find the mouse in the trap but me. Just,
really?
Like,
they'd be like, oh, didn't find another
time.
One. I bet your dad would go down there and just put one in.
Yeah,
and be
just
like,
wait.
Yeah, I didn't find anything. And then next time you would go down.
Yeah. I actually, like, made my parents, like, we always had to go downstairs and get things from, like, the downstairs fridge or to bring up, like, chores, I guess.
Yeah.
And I refused to go down in the basement unless someone had checked the traps that day. And I still found them. But you always know because, well, one, I had all the spots of the mouse traps memorized in the house. So I'd, like, peer, like, slowly around the corner. Because you can tell because it always flips the trap.
Did you live out in the country or something? Why do you have so many mice in your house? Were you on a farm?
Not on a farm, but it's like we'd get coyotes around and stuff.
What area of Ontario?
Guelph.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard. It's an hour southwest, or primarily west, a little bit south of Toronto.
Okay. So you're sort of out in the...
It's like... Okay, my parents actually just sold my family home and moved.
That's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. We moved there in 2000, and then they just sold it this summer, and they, like, sold it and moved out in a month, like, unexpected.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't even tell you? We sold the house.
Yeah, well, they had to decide within 24 hours. Like, they brought in a real estate agent to look at, like, make or improvements they would do to the house with a thought of selling it in, like, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the real estate agent asked if they could bring, this couple through to take a look at it, so the real estate agent had a better idea of what this couple was looking for. My parents were thinking the couple would tell them things to improve, and they ended up, like, offering on the spot.
Holy
and
crap.
And they had 24 hours to decide, yeah.
Must have been a good offer then.
I guess so.
That's awesome. It's kind of sad, though.
Yeah.
I mean, so you'd see, like, coyotes running around. So
yeah,
you must
coyotes, have, deers.
Maybe when you were a baby, you got bit by one of those rats or something.
This is what my mom claims. I doubt it's that accurate, but at our, like, old house that I lived to till I was 5, my dad, whenever he caught mice in the basement there, would just, in the winter, just throw them out the back door,
mm-hmm.
like dead mice. And my dad would claim to my mom, like, oh, the animals around here love the mice I'm throwing them. Like, they always eat them up.
Okay.
And then, like, as winter started to melt and the ice was melting, it was just, like, a graveyard of frozen dead mice.
He thought they were getting taken off?
No, but it was just snowing on top.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah, so my mom's like, maybe that was a fear.
I don't know.
That
sounds like it could do it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Or I think he would dangle them. Like, he after he caught them, like, would dangle them
in front of
us a bit. Just to taunt us. It worked.
Little did he know he gave you a rat phobia.
Yeah, I think he'd take it back if he could. I like to hope.
What else do you have a phobia of?
You said you
had a couple.
Okay, well, like, rats and mice are, like, my primary ones.
Right.
But then, like, because it's so bad, I, like, animals that remind me of them, like, I'm a little fearful of.
So, like, squirrels, like we were talking about.
Yeah.
Really?
I've gotten better.
You got
like
a little...
Squirrels are okay. Chipmunks, like, are okay because they're kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, guinea pigs or anything like that?
Really?
No.
So, a gerbil?
Oh, God, no.
I had gerbils as pets. Those were my first pets.
Oh, no.
I love those little things. We'd put them in a big, probably 4-foot-high, like, cardboard box and just let them run around out of the cage. And you put tubes in there and cardboard tubes, and they just chew through them. And one of them, his name was Spot, he had the biggest high jump I've ever seen. So they're like, two inches tall? He would jump 4 feet up to the top of the box. We'd be watching TV, and you'd look over, and the gerbil's just staring at you from the top of the box. And then he'd drop back down and then scurry around for a bit and then jump up.
See, scurry, that's like, ugh. That just reminds me. Yeah. Yeah. No, but I don't think there's that many other animals that are that bad like that. But some birds I don't like.
Well, birds are assholes.
Yeah, like pigeons. Pigeons are probably a fear. I'm not as bad.
What's wrong? Pigeons aren't that bad. I mean, they don't. They poop on
you. You know what it is, though? Bats. That's like my two combined fear. They're flying rodents.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So, like, a flying squirrel would be too close to...
Probably. I mean, like, we have so many squirrels here at UBC. I feel like I've, just from being exposed to them on a daily basis, I feel like I've, like, settled my fear a little bit.
I was actually at this bus stop up here.
Yeah.
Two nights ago, and there's a bunch of rats running around. Or there might have been
mice.
Don't
tell me these things.
What was I going to say? God.
Flying squirrels, bats, mice.
Oh, bats. So, you've heard of bat guana, right? And how it killed like 14 scientists?
Yeah.
Back, it was a long time ago. So it's actually quite poisonous.
Okay. What is it?
Bat guana, it's bat.
Wait, is this going to pop up photos of bats?
It might.
Okay, I'm going to look away.
Okay. It's from the CDC. There's the bats right there. You might want to look away.
No, I got it now.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm just like not making eye contact.
Okay, so this is from the CDC. It says severely high fatal diseases have been linked to bats. Rabies. Yeah, rabies is a big one, it says.
So you're allowed to be fearful of bats because there's a valid reason.
There's lots of like lung infections and diseases you can get. Histoplasmosis, that doesn't sound good at all. It can be fatal. So there's a story about, I'm not sure where or when it was, but I know I've heard it, that there's like 14, 15 scientists. And so at the mouth of a bat cave, they all fly out at night, right? And they poo when they're going out. So right at the mouth, there's a giant mound of poo.
Yeah.
Just huge. And the scientists were like crawling all and looking through it. And they all got sick and died. And there's a whole, it was on one of these documentaries I was watching. There's a whole ecosystem in the poo. So there's beetles. There's beetles that eat, that ball up the guana.
Well, I mean, if it's that bit, like that big of a pile, I guess it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, and there's like ants that crawl in, and then the beetles eat the ant. Like there's a whole ecosystem just surrounded by bat poo, all started by bat poo.
That's kind of gross.
And it's it sort of blocks off the inside. So you know, there's animals that adapt to the cave environment, right?
Yeah.
That big mound of poo like will block them off, so they'll stay in, and that they think that's why some animals like maybe got trapped in there, and that's why they evolved to.
Sorry, that's pretty sweet. I was going to say, on the topic of animals, have you heard of the super muscly pigs?
No, but I've seen super muscly cows and dogs.
Look,
I want to see
super muscly pigs.
So is this the same? Do they have the same thing as those cows do? What is it? IGF-1 inhibitor, I think it's called. They don't have it. Okay. Oh, they have a small genetic tweak. Whoa, look at the ass on that thing. Damn.
It's bootylicious.
How much do you think he used to squat? Like 350, something like that?
Isn't there someone on your team that just squatted an absurd amount?
Yeah, like 500 for reps or something like that. Front squat 500. Clint? Okay, so it's a... Oh, it's the myostatin gene. That's the one. That's the one. So those jacked bulldogs, have you ever seen those ones that look like you can bench the world? Yeah, it's those guys. And they made cows like that too?
No, but if you scroll down.
Oh, sorry.
These pigs, right? So they're, I'm assuming, trying to have these legal to be sold and buy.
Because they're bigger and they have more meat.
Yeah, but it's like leaner meat and more meat per pig. And they're trying to get this, I think, in China because I think their regulations are a little bit less strict and they need more pork. Right. But they said, I think it's on this article actually, only 13 of the 32 lived to 8 months old. And of those eight, two are still alive and only one is considered healthy.
So was that just because they have so every muscle grows? So, like, their heart gets too big, probably. That's what I'm going to assume.
Maybe. I think they also have a lot of birthing problems with them, too.
Like, they're so fat.
Because they're so big.
Oh, my God. So, I mean, it just depends how big they get before they die, right? Because if they can live to get to a decent enough size, they won't. I mean, the Chinese government won't care. This is the second time of shit talk the Chinese government. On the first show, I accused them of stealing organs from people.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
And now we're talking about them doing genetic manipulation, which actually works now. They've got it pretty good. It's this thing called CRISPR. And they can do pretty precise gene editing.
There's only one... genetically engineered animal, right, that's allowed in our Canadian food system.
What is that?
It's a fish. Tuna? Salmon? I can't remember offhand, but I think there's only one that's been approved, right?
So, I think it's like, a salmon. So
and it was approved, quite recently, right?
Yeah. in those fish farms, I think. There it is, the advantage.
You're not from here, I guess.
I am, but...
I thought you said you were from Bermuda.
I was born in Bermuda, okay. But I'm Canadian. It's a growth hormone regulating gene. I guess they eliminate it and it'll make it grow faster. Yeah, there it is. It enables it to grow year-round instead of just during the spring and the summer.
Hmm.
Oh, so it'll get bigger faster.
How do you feel about genetically engineered food? Animals?
All for it.
All for it?
Yeah. How do you feel? How does your roommate feel about it? I feel like that's where you're going to lead into.
No, I don't know. I'm assuming her stance on it would be...
No.
Well, not for animals, because she's not eating animals as a vegan.
That's true.
But I think, like, plants, she would be for.
Really? Because a lot of those vegans are very against GMO.
Well, I mean, you already, like, I think a lot of people don't realize that they're already eating foods that have GMOs in them.
Everything you eat is GMO.
Right, like papaya.
Corn.
Isn't that a big thing?
Yeah, corn, bananas, yams. I'm sure potato, like, they're all...
But there's different levels of, like, genetic modification, right? Like, some are very simple, where they just, like, what was it? Where they took tomatoes and then a root vegetable, and they combined the two so that this, like, plant grows, like, tomatoes on top and the root vegetable underneath.
Okay.
You've seen that? Like, things like that, where you can just, like, take snippets of things that they could do, like, hundreds of years ago because it didn't really require the science and technology we have now.
Yeah, so that's not direct... gene editing, that's just through natural selection.
Yeah. Or selective breeding.
Yeah, there you go. You got it. Selective breeding, right? So we already have genetically modified foods, basically, mm-hmm. right? So the corn that you eat is not the corn that they found here when the Native South Americans had it.
Yeah.
When it looked like wheat, almost. It's a wheat plant.
Well, now a lot of the food, right, has to look appealing for people to buy in the store, which is why...
That's why tomatoes taste terrible, because the only thing they make them so that they can last a long time, so they're hard, and they're big, and they're fat, but they don't taste very good.
And the cucumbers all have to be a very specific size.
Oh, that's right, too. Yeah. They're probably...
Their diameter. I think it has to do with their diameter, because they stack and pack better at a certain size.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sneaky. And the apples, too, they're all shiny. They put that wax on them, and they throw out all the ones with the little dents.
My vegan roommate actually has, I don't know if she still has it, but last year she had some hookup with a banana guy at Safeway, because she was like, what do you do with your bananas that nobody buys?
Yeah.
And he was like, we just throw them out.
That's what we wanted to talk about, Freely the Banana Girl. This bitch is crazy, okay? This will make your roommate look like...
I'm not shit-talking her. She's pretty sweet.
Well, I'm not either. I'm sure she's a nice lady.
She's not this crazy banana girl.
Okay, so Freely is the, I'm going to say, the cult leader of the banana movement.
Okay.
The all-carb, all-fruit, raw vegan diet. I think it's called raw till 4, so they eat everything raw until 4 o'clock. I think that's what it is. And then they'll eat like a cooked meal, but vegan, after
raw
4 o'clock.
Raw till 4. That's really weird.
It's crazy. So she'll wake up in the morning. This is her. She's super skinny, but that's because she just bikes everywhere, right? She's super, like, look how many followers.
Have you ever tried any, like, wild diet?
Oh, hell no. Have you?
Not.
Have you done, like, a paleo diet or something?
Not
actually,
really.
Actually, no. I did do a paleo diet, but.
You did? That's, like, a little bit less wild. I feel like that's a bit more normalized now.
Yeah, I mean, I just ate steak and spinach, basically, and eggs.
So the life?
Yeah, basically. I just ate what I normally do, minus chips and stuff like that.
I did a it's a low FODMAP diet, but it's,
sorry, can you say a little, what is it?
Low FODMAP. FODMAP.
What does that stand for? Do you remember?
Yeah, fermented oligosaccharides and polyols or something.
FODMAP.
Yeah, FODMAP. I actually don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but that's what I always said. So.
Okay. So what did that entail, basically?
Okay. So, well, the purpose that I ate it for was I was having a lot of, like, I was getting sick all the time from something I was eating, and I couldn't figure out what it was.
Okay.
And so I worked with the dietitian who actually now works with all the UBC athletes, Emma.
Emma. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to have her on soon.
Oh, really?
I know when I'm going to have her on, but I will have her on.
Emma's
awesome. I'll talk to her about that.
Yeah. about this diet. You should know. So I did this low FODMAP diet, which is basically an elimination diet. So you cut like everything you've ever wanted to eat out of your diet for like 6 to 8 weeks.
To find out which.
And then you slowly add things back in and you monitor like how you your like body feels when you add back in food. So it's gluten-free, dairy-free, like... Or fructose and sucrose.
So, like, high allergen things. Like, no nuts.
Yeah, like, you could have nuts. It was like, really surprising what you could and couldn't have, I think. Like, garlic and onions were a huge no-no.
Well, yeah, garlic's got bleach in it, right?
So. Yeah, like, you're going to die. Don't eat garlic, you will die. That's what we learned today. Or you'll consume bleach and you'll die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so you cut out all these things, and it's like a really random assortment of fruits and vegetables. Or it felt like a really random assortment of fruits and vegetables that you could and couldn't have. The most difficult part, honestly, was food planning, like making meals to go, because you can't just like eat out.
Oh, that's right. So you have to eat after like...
Took a lot of time.
Super plan it the day before and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it's so expensive, I realize. Like maybe living a gluten-free lifestyle would be better... Or not gluten-free, a vegan lifestyle, because you are still eating gluten and you're just not buying meat. So I feel like it might be cheaper. Mm-hmm. But some of those foods are ridiculously expensive. Like to eat the vegan, healthy, like raw diet is crazy.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, vegetables are expensive because they don't get as many subsidies as corn and all the oil producers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like... A Big Mac will cost less than a head of lettuce.
Excuse me.
But that's just because of the corn subsidies. So in the bread, there's tons of corn. In the meat, they mix in all that grain and stuff.
Have you watched... Okay, wait. First, we'll do this banana girl.
Okay, so I don't know what this video is, but you'll basically get the gist of her. Her name's Freely, and she's got tons of followers, like 700 and whatever thousand subscribers.
Holy.
Look at this. What she eats for breakfast. She's... Got what, 10, 20 bananas in there? And just poured syrup on them? Raw till 4, banana girl cleanse.
Bananas and biking.
It is day 9 of All Raw, No Shampoo, and 30 vlogs in 30 days. And I just wanted to comment quickly about how easy I'm waking up at the moment. Just like, bing, just want to get out and do something. So that's another real big...
She's Australian, by the way.
Yeah, couldn't tell.
All Raw. Vegan diet. It is so, so good. It was good before, but now it's just like, bam, get out and do something. And I'm about to do something.
She doesn't even look healthy. Doesn't she look...
She's thin.
She's very thin. But this is what she does.
Yeah, but she's not eating food, like she's not eating fatty foods.
All she does is bike. Yeah, but she eats straight sugar. So you'd think she'd have a little...
Carbs?
Yeah. There's tons of articles written about how her, like, there's... Because there's kids, obviously, they're watching this.
Yeah.
Girls that want to be look skinny. And they'll just start smashing bananas in the morning. And obviously, they don't bike like her because they got to go to school and stuff. And then they're like, oh, I feel bloated. Like, yeah, you ate 400 bananas today. or like...
Yeah, it's just like anything like that, right? It's so extreme, there's no balance to it.
I mean, yeah, I think balance is key. The name of the game. Yeah. Right, you can go to McDonald's every now and again if you want, but don't go crazy.
Yeah, actually, Emma came and talked to our team today, and she was saying like kind of a good rule of thumb is 80-20. Like you eat well 80% of the time, and 80% of the time you're focused on like your goals around eating and being a healthier athlete, I guess, and then 20% of the time like relax, like you're
chill.
Human.
Right, have a meat pie every now and again. Right. I mean, she's...
You know what you should get her to do on your show is navigate through the website they've put up and all the different things on it.
Okay.
That'd be really good.
Okay.
Because they even do a thing, what's it called? Food something. And it's a section.
Food something. Oh.
Yeah. No, she'll know it. But it's a section on the site that they've created where they've gone to basically every food store on campus and rated what meals are like good to have. What the hell?
Keep going. Okay, pardon the interruption here. We're gonna watch. She's Freely the
how and why I squat on the toilet to poop
live demo.
Okay. What the fuck? Literally, so I thought I'd
get
and show you how I squat on the toilet. I don't always squat like that. I sometimes use a squatty potty, as you can see underneath my feet, that bit of plastic. Put my feet up on that. I've definitely squatted on a lot of toilets, but look, you have to be careful, all right? People have been known to break toilets, so you've got to keep in mind the
break toilet.
Of the toilet and just
the squatty potty.
The squatty potty.
It's actually supposed to be healthier, though.
Just go poo. Why are you doing this?
Colon elimination, everything like that.
Just sit down and go.
Just a quick little snippet from this amazing...
You're doing it wrong.
It's showing the importance of squatting when it comes to delivering a fluffy, fruity floater.
Did she just describe it as a fluffy fluid floater?
Today, a great number of medical experts say humans are designed to squat to eliminate.
This is very ominous.
Squatting releases pressure on the rectum and makes it
ominous music.
Sitting in a Western-style toilet means you're pushing against your own muscles. Many doctors say that squat toilets reduce the chances of constipation, hemorrhoids, and even bowel cancer. Research shows that a bathroom posture plays a bigger role in these ailments than a lack of dietary fiber. Stanford University has revealed a new study that shows squatting is a...
Stanford did a study on this.
Can you imagine being the subject of this study?
The squatty potty study. So, Mr. Johnson, how did your poop feel today? Oh, yeah, it was great.
Neuroscientists say when a person squats, his or her...
They got all the angles. Look at this. Oh, jeez.
...causes the pressure inside the abdominal cavity.
Oh, this is so disgusting. Oh, my God.
This is going to lead you to a whole nother section of YouTube.
I don't even
want to
click on one of those side videos. That would be bad. Oh, jeez. She's got some weird videos. That was Freely's one, too. Hmm. Let's see what else she's got here. Weight loss tips. Pasta made me fat. Okay, but 40 bananas don't make you fat. I think all she does is bike, eat bananas. That was an interesting conversation. Let's play an ad here, and then we'll get right back into it. We'll start talking about... Booty with Aaron Stamp. This might be a little sexist. I'm not really sure. You know, I'm not sure if it is or not. If you want to complain, just tweet at me, Chase Kelleher, on Twitter. If you don't want to complain, then don't do it.
It could be global, trance, spoken word, rock, the usual and the weird, or it could be something different. Oral Tentacles. Thursdays, 12 to 6 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
We're back on 101.9 CITR Radio, coming to you from UBC on unceded Musqueam territory. This is the Thunderbird Locker Room. I guess content warning?
People are doing well on Instagram, bloggers.
You should get into that. Just start taking pictures of your butt on Instagram and get tons of money. There's tons of girls who do that. I follow quite a few of them, I'm not going to lie. There's some nice butts on Instagram. And they literally, that's what they do.
Really?
Every day, they'll
see.
They'll just go on, they'll go to the beach. They won't even be at the beach to be at the beach. They'll be at the beach to take a picture of their ass. They'll go, oh, at the beach today, drinking my whatever shake sponsored them or whatever. Yeah. And then that's
the
their
green
whole,
smoothie.
They go to the gym and that's their whole day. I mean, wouldn't you feel, I don't know, weird doing that? Or not.
I don't know. That's a pretty chill way to make money.
It'd be unfulfilling, yeah. I would say.
My vegan roommate, her friend is like Insta-famous, an Insta-famous vegan.
Who
which is
it?
Actually how she
She's
became
an Insta-famous vegan.
Her friend is.
What's her friend's name?
Her Instagram handle, happyhealthy93, or happyandhealthy93.
Happy and healthy, let's find her.
I think.
My phone is really bad. And?
Happy and healthy. I don't know if it's underscore 93 or. And
healthy.
Or just 93.
Oh, 96. There it 96?
Is. 96?
Steph Yu.
Let's see.
Is that her? Steph Yu? 20 years old? Or is that someone just...
No, this is her. She just went to Everest Base Camp. Like, yeah.
Oh, really?
She has 200,000 followers.
Holy crap.
Yeah. No big deal.
200K for what? Just posting pictures? These just look like normal pictures, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
I guess she just posts really good ones. Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of food pictures. She's all right. I'm just saying, usually the girls that get Instagram famous are just total dime pieces, but I don't mean to sound sexist. Well, I mean...
You mean to.
No, well, I don't mean to. I'm just telling the truth. Most of them are absolute babes, and they just take pictures of their butt. That's what they do. That is their whole job.
And people like you follow them.
Yeah. And so they get Instagram famous. I'm not mad
at
it.
But, like, what's the point? If they have a bunch of followers like you, there's no point in them advertising their green smoothie at the beach.
Well, I'm sure lots of girls do follow them, too. I would hope they do. I don't know why a girl would follow just some chick taking a booty pic every day. Doesn't really make much. Like, this girl, Summer Rae. Oh, my goodness.
We're just giving all these Insta shout-outs.
And she's got like, a... Jeremiah 29:11, and she's just posting pictures of her ass, and she's this Christian girl. Look at all of her posts and tell me which one doesn't have a butt in it.
Oh, I found one.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, that one only has side boob.
Yeah, that's true. And a straw in an orange.
Oh, wow. It's an industry. The ass industry.
She's got a nice ass.
It's all right. Huh? Like that one? Come on. That's all she does. And she's got 10.
She's found her place.
Look how many followers she has.
10.4 million followers.
She's only 20.
Oh, my goodness.
Imagine if that was your kid.
Yeah.
I'd be so proud. Oh, man. All your buddies are following her. Like, oh, your daughter posted a nice ass picture today, Rob.
Can you imagine?
Oh, that'd be devastating. See if I can find
it. Would it be worse to be her brother or her dad?
Oh, dad for sure. Oh, for sure. You going to work?
Yeah, but people, if you're like that age, probably aren't talking about someone's daughter's Instagram. Like, they're not as in touch. If you were like a brother, all of your friends would know.
That's true. That's very true. I mean,
potato, potato.
But if she's your sister, that's already happening. At school. That's already happening. This is just 10.4 million times.
That's true.
And there's like a mom from Vancouver, and she just gets dressed up and takes pictures of herself in like tight clothes and stuff. She's like 40. Yeah.
How do you find these people on Instagram?
Oh. Like, that's her whole thing.
Wow.
It's just going to the... She's way too old to be doing this stuff. I mean, kudos, but...
Interesting.
Are you gonna... You thinking about it now?
I'm thinking about a new... Like, a career change.
Yeah, so out of the pool, into the Instagram.
Yeah. I think it would be a smooth transition.
A bunch of dudes just sliding into those DMs. Have you seen the meme of the guy dunking... In a DM box.
No, that's funny though.
It's like when her boyfriend's name comes out the profile and it's just some dude with a number one in his hand dunking in.
That's good.
This girl.
All different.
This girl, 6.8 million. Literally just her working out.
Is she a fitness model? She must be.
She's not really, but she started on Instagram. Like, she doesn't do magazines or anything. Well, I'm sure she's gotten offers from it. It's incredible. We live in the future. Yeah, I know. Like, what are you doing there? What are you doing there? Everyone knows what you're doing.
That's so funny. Well, my self-esteem has skyrocketed from these.
What do you mean? Has it gone down?
No, it's fine. I don't really care.
How funny is that, though? These girls are just making cash. Okay, this is getting weird now.
Yeah.
Oh,
their parents must be so proud.
Oh my goodness, I bet they are. I wonder if there's any dudes that do that stuff. Like, they just wear like a banana hammock on Instagram and just take snaps of it.
I think it's more like just their torso.
Abs and arms.
Abs and arms. Abs and biceps.
Abs and
curls
biceps.
For the girls.
Is that your thing? You like the biceps?
Yeah.
For sure. Documentary, The Magic Mushroom. So what did you find out you were allergic to? We never even
mushrooms.
Finished that. Mushrooms.
That was really weird. Mushrooms. But yeah.
Really? That's random?
Yeah, super random. And I used to eat them all the time. Oh. Or like, Yeah. But I mean, it's nice because it's an easy thing to avoid.
Do you know what kind of mushroom? Is it all mushrooms?
I don't know. And I've been like a little hesitant to try it because like when I ate mushrooms, I like spent the next day throwing up.
Oh.
And I had like two, like, you know, those little white mushrooms they sell at the grocery store that you like put in the brown bag. I had like two of those.
And you're throwing up all day.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a buddy in high school who would just smash milk every day, a liter of chocolate milk.
Lactose
every
intolerant.
Day. Made himself lactose intolerant. I didn't even know that could happen. He made himself lactose.
He made himself?
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, is that really a thing?
That's
like,
what
I
happened.
Think people go through like phases and you can become lactose intolerant later in life and it can go away. There's actually a girl that swam on our team last year, Erin Aspen, and she has a severe peanut allergy. And
sorry, what's her last name again?
Aspen, yeah. Let's repeat it again. Ha ha ha. Osman, I think, is a proper pronunciation.
Okay.
But she has a severe peanut allergy, and her roommate, one of the other girls on her team, was like, oh, you know, you've probably grown out of it. Like, they've known each other since they were kids. And she's like, you've had this allergy since you were a kid. People grow out of allergies all the time. You should try peanut. And she was like, no, this isn't an allergy you grow out of. Like, it's anaphylactic. I have an EpiPen. Like, I'll die.
Yeah.
And so.
Come on.
Yeah, it was like in like October of 2 years ago, maybe. And then at Christmas, we had a Christmas like get together and a bunch of people brought baked goods and someone brought cookies with peanut butter in it that didn't know her. And she took a bite, spit it out immediately, and like two EpiPens, 911.
Oh,
like,
my
huge
God.
Deal.
Well, she couldn't breathe and stuff.
Yeah. And then like Tara, the other girl, was like, oh yeah, you know, maybe I was wrong. Maybe you don't grow out of that allergy.
Oops.
Yeah, I was like, can you imagine if you talked her into just casually trying a peanut or
something?
That
is quite the mistake to make. Yeah. Why would you do that?
Yeah, well, she ate that cookie by accident, but no, she just did it in good fun. Risking your life.
Okay, Erin. I just found this hilarious article. Well, the title's hilarious, and it says... 89-year-old man digs his own grave, and it's got a quote from him, and it says, I love digging.
Where is this?
This is in PEI, Prince Edward Island. This is from the CBC, and this quote says, the grandchildren will know that their grandfather dug his own grave with his own backhoe. That's pretty badass. I love digging.
That was what he was quoted as why he did it. I just love digging.
I guess
digging.
So. I love digging. He's 80. I mean, he's 89. It's probably going to take him a while to do it, so.
Oh, he's just starting?
I guess so.
Do graves have to be that deep?
6 feet. 6 feet under.
Is that like a legitimate thing?
Okay. 6 feet under.
The more you know.
Are you going to, do you think you, would you like a grave or to be burnt and scattered to the winds, do you think?
I think a grave.
You think so?
Yeah.
Do you want... It's weird. People do that, like, hermetically sealed.
Oh, like, where, like, maybe they
What are you trying to
have,
do? What are you doing? What do you
think
you're
in
dead.
The future there'll be technology to bring them back?
Why would you put them in the earth then? Have you seen those ones in Mexico? They have them in, like, a coffee table? Like a glass coffee table?
That's
bad. I'll show you. Oh, it's disgusting.
Will you donate your organs if you can?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm of the, I'm not religious at all. So I'm of the belief that when you die, you're dead. There's nothing ethereal, no afterlife, nothing.
No heaven. No hell.
I just think you're dead. Like, there's nothing there
That's
for you, right?
That's kind of depressing.
It's depressing, but on the other hand, it's not really depressing because you only get, 70 years, so you got to make the most of it, right?
Huh. I'm not religious, but I think I like to believe that you come back as something else, like reincarnation.
You're like a... What religion does that? Buddhism? Do they
Buddhism?
Do reincarnation?
I think it is Buddhism.
So are you a Buddhist?
No, I'm not religious, or I don't think I would... Like, side with... Oh, my goodness. No. That's so,
Isn't that horrifying?
That's so creepy. That's it's like a glass coffee table.
Yeah. I think it's debunked. It's on Snopes here.
Ugh.
That's false. Dang it. Oh, man.
He loves Lucy.
Oh, darn it. Yeah, so you do you like to believe that you would come back as something?
I think so. I mean, I don't really spend a lot of time thinking about what happens after. But, yeah, no, I think that you come back as something like a new species or something.
A new species, like maybe, a butterfly or something.
Yeah, like maybe like my irrational fear of rodents stems from my previous life as something that, like,
that
I don't
gets
know
eaten
if that was.
By rodents?
Yeah.
Have you thought? Have you put much thought into this?
No, I'm just coming up with it now, but I'm setting my stone now. Yeah,
I think you should write some sort of manifesto about this. Some kind of religious document.
Well, I think this is how my blog is going to start. And I'll just base my Instagram off of this. I don't know.
Your Instagram is just going to be ass pics and then like in my former life.
Yes, exactly. I think it's a good, it's tasteful. It's a little bit of everything.
You could start. Oh my goodness, an ass cult.
a Buddhist
ass Instagram cult that
perfect.
That believes in reincarnation. And if the worse you're the one before, then in your next life you'll have a better booty to put on Instagram.
That's good. Yeah, that's so good.
But that would that make you be bad in this life to be a bad thing in the next one? So then the one after that you get a nice butt? Is that worth it?
This is just like buttception.
Buttception. The Buddhist buttception religion.
There we go. It's going to be a thing.
We're going to make it happen.
Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap this up. That was fucking ridiculous.
And what is it? Like Buddha, right? The big statue? You mm-hmm. just have to like modify it a little so it's got a big booty.
Instead of the big
stomach? And it
would stomach?
Be like Buddha or something. Like, you know, like somehow.
I think just booty.
Just booty just would be who you
instead
worship.
Of the A, you just put like a Y at the end of it. Booty. The great awesome. Booty. And instead of rubbing the belly, you rub the ass when you walk by.
No, you'd have to slap it. You just rub the ass.
You slap it.
Yeah.
You do your prayer.
Drop a squat. The squat.
You do a potty squat.
Squatty potty.
You get the squatty potty position, yeah. And then you slap his ass and move on to the next one. I think we've started something.
It's definitely trending.
It'll be on Twitter. # booty. But spelt like B-U-double-D-Y. Double-D-H-Y. Okay, do you have Instagram? Obviously, you're not... I mean... when you start this cult, we'll get you back on. So you can we'll get you back on so you can tell
life.
Us of your teachings. Show us your robes that you developed with like a hole right where the butt is.
Perfect.
But what is your Instagram now?
So I think it's
our three listeners can follow you.
Let me find that. I think it's at Erin Stamp.
E-R-I, right?
Yeah, E-R-I.
Stamp.
Yeah.
And Twitter? Are you on the Twitters?
I'm not on the Twitters.
You're not on the Twitterverse?
No.
Well, you got to get in the
Twitterverse. You know, I actually do have a Twitter handle, but I haven't ever used it, so I'm not going to tell people because I don't want them to follow me.
Do you just lurk?
I don't ever go on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
I have enough platforms to waste my time on.
Yeah, I can't get enough. Okay, so now it's your turn to pick the song. So we played, or you picked Shania, but I want you to pick
another
one.
Oh, you know what we have to end with then? Bootylicious.
Oh, yes. Yes. You are perfect. Just perfect. Perfect song choice. I'm too fabulous for your babe. I don't think you're ready for this jelly. Okay,
Destiny's
so this is
Child.
Destiny's Child, Bootylicious. Thank you for coming on, Erin.
Thanks for having me.
Here we go. Thanks for listening, everyone. What an excellent episode. My name is Chase Kelleher. You've been listening to the Thunderbird Locker Room. Have a wonderful holiday season.